Okay, Lavarne?
I was just going to make the point that when Bertol and I talk, I have preliminary numbers for the month of August. So I'm putting these numbers in as we speak. So I will send this to you to get a more accurate number for 11, for FY11, with the fill-in, what Bertol and I kind of talked about before. So I'm dropping in the numbers. You'll have a better number for FY11. I'll send that to you. I'm putting the numbers in now. I have preliminary actuals for August and then the forecast that Bertol and I kind of talked about. I'm doing that now.
Alex,
okay.
On the back.
I heard Alex, and I still heard someone else. That's right.
Yes.
Okay, Alex,
you're up.
Okay, since we're on revenue, we did discuss tonight one small change in the revenue projection, and that is the listener support is based on a fulfillment rate of 77%. We're actually at 78 right now,
mm-hmm.
And we thought it would be not unrealistic to project a fulfillment rate of 78%. Which would bring the revenue up by about $30,000.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like insanity. Okay.
And if you want rationales for that, I'm sure Bertol can go into that.
Well, you've raised it, you know, way substantially from what we were looking at a year ago, as I recall, so... Obviously, if you keep on doing the same thing.
Arpal.
Okay, Arpal.
Yeah. Regarding fulfillment, yeah, we had a lot of discussion, in the Finance Committee about this. And 77, 78 is a very conservative figure. A lot of the, basically, if you chop off the most recent thon or the most recent two thons, you get a better number because, you know, we keep, every time we start a thon, every time a thon ends, it you know, has to build up. So if you count that one in, it lowers everything. But in terms of what we're actually getting in, those of us on the committee, most of us on the committee, thought that 77, 78 was extremely conservative and absolutely doable.
Yeah, most of the other stations are around 80%, so that, you know, that supports what you're saying. Okay, any other thoughts on the revenue section? We might need to sort of go to a motion level on that part of the budget and then look at the other part. I'm not sure, but are there any other thoughts or suggestions or just questions about what's going on?
Very fast.
Yeah.
Okay. We just also discussed, both at that committee and elsewhere, the number of days creeping up again. We had in what, 8, I think it was, we had a whole lot of days. And it came down a little bit and down a little bit. Then Bertold has 116. I had counted 114 days for FY11. He's probably right. We do have to figure out how to not pitch so much, because going to 122, that's actually one third of the year. Every third day is pitching, and we all know that this is not good. And I think some attention needs to be paid to how we can make it so we aren't pitching an actual third of the year. And we all acknowledge that in the committee.
That's important. I'm going to put myself on the stack. Who else was that?
Bertold.
And then Kim.
Okay, let's go to Bertold.
Yeah, this is absolutely legitimate. When I was not general manager, this was the one thing I used to criticize the station vehemently about. Now I'm on the other seat. It is obvious that if you look at on the assumption sheet, Kim, you'll see that our average rate raising per hour per day, we're assuming is going to be about $28,000 a day. We used to do 40, 50. So the trick is, you know, at BAI, we have to come to a point where we can raise $35,000 a day. If we were able to raise $35,000 a day, we would
cut
be able to, yeah, it would make quite a dent in, you know, we would need 97 days. So at the national, you know, management committee and stuff like that, you know, we all five stations are starting to share premium and share strategies and stuff like that. I think that's going to take a little while, but that's the idea. I mean, you're absolutely right. We have to. It's too much. It's too much for me.
Ken, I have a question.
Okay, we had a stack, Ken. You're on it. I believe that Kim was next.
Yes. Okay, here's my pitch. We need more listeners. That's what we need. Okay, so I want to hear plans and ideas and focus on this. One of the reasons we are, our CPB funding is lowering every year is because of lower listenership and lower listener revenue. We can raise all this money on the side, but CPB is not impressed with that. They want to know that we're serving an audience, and they appreciate us and will support us.
Well, CPB has their own problems, but okay. Bertold, do you want to reply before we go to Ken?
Sure. We just did a little analysis from 2005 to present. And in 2005, we had 17,000 paid members. And it went down from 2005 to 2009 to 15,080 members. Between 2009 and now, we have raised our paid members by, let me see, up to 15,745. That's about 600 members. Hopefully that... You know, we were having a downward trend for 4 or 5 years. Hopefully this upward trend from 2009, since Tony Bates started over in July and I started over in July 2010, it's been going up for 2 years now, so hopefully that will continue going happening.
Well, I personally just want to hear
Kim,
and ideas for how to increase listenership.
Kim, you made your statement. Bertold answered it. We can't do all the back and forth.
You know, the focus needs to be on what can we do to get more listeners. That's what I'm looking for everyone, including my station.
Okay, Kim, but, you know, it's the finance committee. We're looking at the budget.
The answer to that is, when you speak, I was talking to Michio Kaku about raising money and reaching out to people, and then he says WBAI is the best-kept secret in New York. We have to market. We have to, you know, I think the PNB, LSB, all of y'all have to, on the side, raise money targeted specifically at marketing, putting billboard and marketing, putting ads and stuff like that, that the stations do not have the money to afford to do. But we, no corporation in America can survive or live without marketing. And we have not marketed in years, 10 years, 15 years.
Nope.
It's amazing that we're still alive, that we don't market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ken, you're next on the stack. Then I'm going to call on myself.
No, Bertold just gave me the information I wanted, which was the trend in membership.
Okay. All right. I'm going to call on myself. I think the overall revenue number is about right. As you're saying, Bertold, it's pretty much the actuals carrying over with a little bit of shift from category to category, but nothing too substantial. I have a couple of comments and then I guess a question. You've substantially downgraded your Cardone. Oh, I see. You had budgeted them way too high, so they're downgraded to correspond to the actuals. We talked about the grant. I think it's likely the CPB hit might not be as bad as is being projected, and I think that's true of several of the stations. So potentially there's an upside there. What's sad about this is that it's corresponding to 114 or 116 days of fundraising. Under those circumstances, for any other station, I would say cut the number of fundraising days down. That's craziness. But given the fixed expenses that you guys have, I don't really see how you can do that at this point in time. So I think it may be a necessary evil unless and until you are able to build the audience back. Because as you say, WBAI suffered a catastrophic loss of audience between 2005, 2009, and everyone, you know, everyone and everything is continuing to pay the price for that.
14%.
Yeah, huge. Absolutely huge. So that makes the choices that are available a little painful, one way or the other. But I don't see that you can drastically reduce your planned fundraising days at this point in time because your fixed expenses are too high. There's very little flexibility. So speaking for myself, I think this is fairly reasonable. Under the circumstances, I just wish the circumstances were a bit different.
Let's get to the stack.
Bill from the stack.
Okay, I'm going to... Anybody else? Okay, Ken and then Bill.
I might have missed something for a moment there, but why the anticipated increase on the major donors, you think it's going to go up by 48,000? And on the grant, you think it's going to go up by 49,000? Is that just plugging in numbers, or is there some? Did you find somebody with some money, or what?
Airtold?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The grant and the donor, major donors.
Major donors. If you take the two major donors, donation below $1,000 and major donors, it adds up to 194,000. And if you take last year, if you take those two same items,
mm-hmm.
it adds up to 171. So the increase I'm projecting is really 23,000.
I'm sorry.
In between major donor and I think I made some adjustment between major donor and donation below $1,000.
He's talking about the combined.
If
you 5,001 and 5,752.
And the major donor?
Major donor is $1,000 and up went increased by 48,500.
Yeah, but I'm just bringing it to your attention. If you look at major donor, right, 114,000, right?
Yeah.
And you add that to donation below $1,000, 80,000. That's line five, the second line from the top.
Okay, that's 194.
That's 194. And then if you do the same thing for actual 2011, 105 and 65, that's 171.
So, okay, thank you. I understand. And what about the grants?
About the grants,
when we get to
expenses, you're going to see that I have proposed a development director. And we can talk about that a lot. Basically, if that development director is accepted and approved by this committee, I expect a lot more than that. I'm just being careful, and I'm just putting things that are already...
Okay, so the anticipation is you have a development director with a proven record who's brought in millions of dollars for other nonprofits.
Yeah, yes. Well, we have a development director right now that we've had temporarily part-time for 6 months, and then that's going to come into conversation later, by the way. And we will go over that, and I can talk about what's been happening at BAI.
Okay. Bill, you are next on the stack.
Well, thank you. And actually, I was going to ask something similar to Ken. So you do plan to add a full-time development director? You only had a part-time one for temporaries this last year, is that right?
I had none, and then 6 months ago, about 5 months ago, we received a loan, a no-interest loan, payable, you know, in the future, so that we can try a development director. So I've had a development director here now for 4.5 months temporarily, and I think that the results I'm getting, adding to the fact that we need to do a capital campaign and then we need to move out of here, I think I'm going to convince you that you need to put that in the budget.
Okay, well, I think you do need a good full-time development director who can spend full-time on development. I think that's really needed. I just want to make sure that was already covered in the expenses. I am concerned about the fund drive days, though, because, I mean, 122 days, I believe, on the assumption sheets for next year. And it's even higher than this year. And I know at KPFT we have about 70 or so, 65 to 70 days a year of fund drive, and people complain that that's too much. So I'm hoping it doesn't, by increasing the fund drive days, you don't, you know, decrease your fulfillment or lose listeners. I really got to do something, but I hope the development director can ramp things up quickly in major fundraising. And also the marketing, just to give you an idea, you know, we also got a grant at KPFT for our marketing, and it's still in the early stages, but I encourage you to think about that too, because I agree with you on the importance of that.
Thank you.
Alex on the stack.
Mm-hmm. I need another
10 minutes. It seems like there's a big concern about the 122 to 116. What I can do is the 31 days in May and in February, the drives, as opposed to 28 last year, I can bring those back to 28, but that's assuming that we will be, our fundraising rate will be $30,000, $357 per day. And
yep.
So I want that to be on the safe side. And, you know, you can say, oh, well, if you reach, you know, close to what you're looking for, you can stop. You know, we've decided that when we run short of our projection and then we have to say, well, we're going to prolong the fund drive, we would rather announce 31 days and cut it at 28.
Mm-hmm.
Alex?
Yeah, this is Tracy. Just as a factual thing, you have to do something about February because there aren't 31 days in February.
Yes. No, well, you know, it's not in February. Like, there's a February.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's just a joke.
February.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I heard Alex on the stack.
Okay, I just wanted to speak to that. I'm also disturbed by this. In fact, when I ran for the LSB a few years ago, I was shocked that we had 90 days at that time. The problem is this is a business model that we have, that we've inherited, and we really got to climb our way out of this business model. And I notice it's not just our business model. It's pretty much the same story at all of our Pacifica stations. Ours is sort of stretched more drastically because of our extraordinary expenses. But I recall that stations like KPFA and KPFK used to have something like under 30 fundraising days a year, and now they're up to, what are they up to now, 60 or 70 or 80 or something like that?
KPFA is in the 60s. I think KPFK
yeah.
is a bit higher than that.
We're
about 90.
30, right?
We're about 90.
Yeah. So
it's a
problem for throughout the network. We're in this business model that forces us to do this kind of stuff. We really need to rethink the whole business model. However, that's not going to be done tonight while we're discussing this budget.
Right.
But I certainly agree. This is a really bad business model. We got to rethink this whole thing.
Right. Absolutely. All right. If there's no further questions, I'm thinking maybe we'll open it up for the expenses side of the budget. I don't want to take actions on half a budget. I think that's a bad idea because things may change through the conversation. I know I definitely have some questions about some of the expense lines, but let's see if any. Berthold, do you want to walk us through the expenses a bit? Because you may identify a couple of things that have changed and answer some questions in advance.
Yeah, I have a
okay.
presentation on that. One quick second, I'm sorry.
Sure.
PowerPoint. Okay. For the budget, expenses, look at the salary and related expenses. Of course, salary and related expenses is going up by... about $77,000.
Mm-hmm.
Administrative expenses going down by $113,000. Programming expenses is going up, going down by $34,000. And development expenses going down by $66,000. So these are the major items. So let's go over. I'll do salaries first. I mean last.
Okay.
The reason why salary and related expenses is going up, actually it's going down. It's going down and up. It's going up. Let me explain. To abide by what Arlene had instructed us to do is to reduce consultants and to reduce consultancy and then to move towards having paid employees as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We have put 2 full-time FTEs under administration, and we have cut almost all the consultants. And the consultants meaning all those people we hire to do the fund drives, you know, the tally coordinators and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we are moving all those people towards being a 2 FTE, 2 full-time employee.
Okay.
I'm also adding 2 other full-time employees. One of them is our development director, as I mentioned before, and my operations director. I used to have an interim part-time operations director. And we went through the process of interviewing, and we hired a full-time operations director so that you can add, count that as 2 FTEs added to the budget. There's the 2 other FTEs added, moving the consultant to F2 employees.
1.5.
So the consultant is a wash, really, because you're moving that out of a consultant salary and you're putting it in salaries, but you have 2 FTEs. And I added another 0.6, a half FTE, to account for vacation coverages so that, you know, we don't, you know, under-project expenses. As far as administrative expenses have gone down because, I have moved that. We've moved that position to the FTE.
Right, got a consultant.
So we moved $77,000 worth of consultant. Moved to FTE. Moved into the salary part. I did another $11,000 increase in PNB meeting expenses and stuff like that for this year. And I added $44,000 in legal settlement, and then I reduced $8,000 in decrease in maintenance, non-technical. So these are the major expenses that that I think plague us. And at the end of the day, my full-time FTE has gone up by 1.9, almost 2. And then that can be accounted really for the 2 FTE that I've added, removing the consultant from consultant to FTE, to being counted as FTE. I think the best way to go about this right now is to ask questions about salaries, administrative expenses, and then as you ask the questions, I'll go to the details. I'll click and go to the details and address them for you.
Alex on the stack.
Barbara for the stack.
Okay, Alex, you're next.
Apple.
Okay. Since we're discussing salaries, one issue that came up tonight was that it was mentioned previously that we took out a loan to hire on a temporary basis the development director. Well, we neglected to pay back the loan in the 2012 budget that you have, so that has to be put back in there. And that's approximately a $45,000 expense.
Point of correction, we had neglect to pay. The loan was to be starting to be repaid after, you know, that loan was totally given, a month after.
Okay.
And then it's supposed to be paid on a monthly basis, you know, the same way that we receive the loan on a monthly basis. The idea was that, even though it was not totally realistic, that that development director was going to work as hard as possible to try to raise as much of that money to cover that expense. So far, we've raised about, $15,000 of that expense. But I think it was, you know, it made sense to have the development director focusing on the capital campaign and then a lot of some grant writings that we have, like 2 grants written that we're expecting that we never had anything like that last year. So that's where we're at for that. So I wanted to make that correction. It was not...
It has to be reflected in the budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just an item that should be under... it's a payable in the budget. It's not directly salary, but it's completely dependent on the salary situation. So I don't know how you want to reflect that, but it needs to be in the budget.
Yeah. Well, there's I think a couple of things that are going to move around here, but okay. Thanks for that. Barbara was next.
Well, I have a question about the other administrative expenses, which include apparently depreciation. And I see a big difference between what's budgeted this year and what was actual last year and what was budgeted last year. So could you say something about that?
Administrative expenses?
Well, the depreciation part of that, you've got them both together.
Not in here. It's going to have to be.
It says on line... I don't have the numbers, but the account, I mean, I don't have line numbers on this copy. The account is 6660, other administrative expense, and then it says include 6655, and part of the word is depreciation, I think.
Yeah, but it doesn't in this year's budget.
So that's why it's $600, you mean it doesn't include any depreciation?
Right, because they're in... a deficit position, a substantial deficit position without it. Okay. R. Paul, you were next on the step.
LeVon wants to address that point.
I'm sorry? The point about the
depreciation part. We were working on that earlier. We're going to address that. I was brought up.
The depreciation for BAI was about $12,000 for this year total. So that would be about, if we were to put a similar, it would be about $1,000 a month to put back in the budget. And the other point is that, I don't have all the information now, but the point that Tracy had made about the CPB funding, we think there could be an upside on that. So I should have the numbers by next week.
Okay, R. Paul, you're next.
Sound like we're ready to go. Okay. Looking at some big numbers. Line 37, income loss before capital expenditures. That is...
I'll wait 10 minutes. I don't care.
That is big. Let me get onto my note. That's 921,279. And that had previously been... said it's 216,126. So it's 921 now. It had been 216, and so I have a question of why did that leap in there?
Into their computers.
And
I think that's a mistake.
Ah, well, okay, that would be
my
a wonderful
guess,
explanation. I would be glad to hear that.
And I can't come up with 1.434 in programming expenses. That's
and line 48, net income loss for FY12 is projected at 236, 237, but for FY11 is projected to be 1.4 mil. And so I hope somebody says, oh, that's a little typo or something.
California and Texas leading the way.
And our line 66, surplus deficit is projected to be...
point of information, can somebody turn off the news or the TV, whatever they're watching?
Please mute. Thank you.
Okay. And I'll make this the final thing.
Paul, can you speak louder?
Okay. Hold on one second. All right. Did you hear what I said? Or do I have to start over?
Yeah, Paul, if you take a look at, there's a mistake in line 32.
Okay.
The programming expenses subtotal is not 1.4. That number is
right.
Double what it is.
Okay.
So then you come down to about a $203,000 deficit.
Okay, that is...
what I closer to what
right.
I remember.
Okay.
Although, of course, after Central Services, it's much worse, but we know that.
Let's not discuss that right now. Okay, that pretty much covers the things I was getting a little freaked out about over here. Because I looked at the old one, and I looked at the new one, and I said, well, it's mostly, what the? So, okay, thank you. That's enough for me. None. Bye-bye.
It's Ken to the
okay.
Stack.
Yeah, this is, I wanted to put myself on the stack, but go ahead, Ken. I'll go after you.
I'm not sitting in front of the spreadsheet right now, but I had two questions. One was something that Kim noticed earlier, that last year there was a $100,000 increase in tower rentals, but it's not reflected this year. I think it was like $499 last year, and it's back down to $399. And we didn't see an allocation for the upcoming election in 2012.
There is one. It's probably smaller than you would like to see, but there is one. Bertol,
well,
do you?
They only have 15,000 members. So I'd expect it to be like 30,000 instead of 40,000, but at least 20 or 25.
Yeah, my understanding is part of that money will be spent in 2012, and then the rest of it will be spent in 2013 because it will go over.
Some of it will go over, that's true.
How much
of it will go over?
I think you're right. I think we should add another $10,000 or $15,000 in there.
And the
what was the other question about
the tower rental was higher in 2011 by 25% higher. Tower rental.
Right.
Line 136.
This is Lavarne, point of information. I will
go ahead.
I will look at the contract. I'm pulling it up now to see what the escalation is for 2012.
I calculated that to be something like 355.
Do we want to get into this? Do we want to get into
this?
We don't want to get into it in specific terms. However, we do need to identify whether the tower rental figure that's projected in the 2012 budget is a reasonable estimate or not. So, Lavarne, is 396 fairly close?
Let me pull up the contract.
Okay.
Since I get it up, I'm looking on the end drive on the server. Let's see if I can find it. But keep talking. Don't stop.
Okay. Well, I have a whole bunch of line items to ask questions about, but I don't think that's should I just start and. We'll
that's
get back
fine
to
by me. I'm not gonna forget. It's okay by me if you go ahead.
Okay.
I have one question at some point, though.
Okay. So starting at the top.
Back again.
Okay. So starting at the top on expenses, I have a question about account 6001, which is called severance/vacation pay. I don't know which one it is or isn't, but I noticed that there was no actual expense in 2011. And it seems like we're carrying over a budgeted figure, and I'm wondering if we actually need to do that, if that corresponds to anything real. That's one question.
You want me to answer them as you ask them so that we can go faster?
Yeah.
I noticed that, you know, vacation and severance pay, we never had any provision in the budget And mm-hmm. people are taking vacation on a regular basis, and then they are covered, and we have to spend that money. So
yeah,
I wanted to put some money in there. So because even though, you know, you make a regular projection in the budget, if you do not put vacation pay, you know, in other words, if, when somebody goes on vacation, you have to pay someone else to cover for that person. So that's what that segment/vacation
okay. I think it's a good idea. I just wanted to be clear what it was. There's a little bit of switching around between the SUI taxes and some other items, but the two questions that I have left in that category are count 6103, where we've got a very different number on 403B contributions in the budget than we seem to have in actuality, unless there's some correspondence with the SUI account there. And normally, 403B contributions don't jump dramatically by like $30,000 with the same amount of employees annually, so I wanted to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. Want me to address that again?
6103, yeah.
Yeah, 6103. I go according to, even though the actual is that low,
uh-huh.
I try to be prudent because in the projection, in the assumptions, the 6103, the 403B contribution, which most employees should participate in are not, including myself. I think is not acceptable. So I was planning on having a presentation here where I would have the staff be presented this and almost be forced to join. Because we have people here who have been here for 25 years and they have nothing to retire on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And so I went based on weights that we had, and I think that that should be increased. You know, so I was pretty aware of the fact that the projected and the actuals are not are totally off, and then it's only a $33,000 increase. I think that would be good for the mental health of our employees and so on.
Okay. I'm also going to ask about account 6200 and how we got lucky enough to be able to anticipate spending less on health benefits.
Levon?
Oops, she just stepped out. Levon?
Yes. I believe the national office and so on are looking to consolidate our health benefits.
Are looking to what, your health benefits?
To consolidate. You know, our health plan and so on.
We're going to be working with an HR group, and whether they won't be totally consolidated. They will be handled by one broker, but we just found out today that there's a change in the United Healthcare policy, and so that broker is going to be looking at that very quickly to see what they can come up with that offers basically the same benefits.
All right, let me just continue with my question.
If we want to be
prudent,
we can increase that a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let me just continue with my questions, and then I might have some motion suggestions. Moving to administrative account 6580. This may also be a mental health thing, Berthold, I'm not sure, but you're projecting a much increased sort of travel budget. In account 6580?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. If that's... Is there anything to say about that, or you just weren't?
I mean, we've basically not had any traveling going on for a while, but I really think that, you know, maybe 11,000 is a little high, but I think we should make provisions for that. You know, we have all kinds of, like, for example, you know, a premium delivery. We, you know, we pay, you know, there's a guy who's a producer now. We pay as a cab driver to go to Gary Knoll to pick up some of his premium. You know, and that's considered traveling. You know, like, we pay a cab. Like, it costs us about $16 for one trip. You know, for the person mm-hmm. to come here, and then we do that often.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that the travel National Office, PNB, and other stations and all that stuff should go up.
Okay.
Maybe 11,000 is kind of high, but I'm highlighting all those in yellow.
Yeah, I mean, that could get, you know, that's a possible place to make a small trim. But anyway, continuing on. 6631, it looks like we're not renting something that we were renting in 2011, which is great. There's a substantial change there from the actuals.
Substantial change?
6631, rent and lease of equipment. We're projecting spending a lot less than we did in 2011.
Lavarne, point of information, it should be the phone
system.
About the phone system? Okay. All right. Account 6900, I'm not going to make a comment. I'm just going to state that in 2011 there was no expense in that item. And I don't know if we need to carry over what we budgeted in 2011 or not. It might be worth looking at.
Arlene?
What?
I put $44,000 this year for legal settlement. And last year...
But we can't talk about that on this call.
No, we are not talking about anything on the call except whether we need to leave in about whether we want to carry over the budget, the number from the 2011 budget or not.
We certainly are going to need... Specifically, what is the line item again, please?
$6,900.
Is it legal expenses or legal?
It's not legal expenses. It's legal settlements. And the amount of $44,000 is a carryover from the previous budget. It's not money that was actually paid out in 2011.
Right. I would say, yes, we need to carry that forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Account 6590, I don't believe that WBAI needs to list in its budget the going and flying at PNB meetings expenses. None of the other stations have been doing that, or several of the other stations have not been doing that. So I think you can get rid of that.
Yeah, somebody,
that's $6,000. Yeah, I don't think you need to hold that there.
Somebody suggested to take that and put it instead on the LSB election.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of new services, we're going to use more stringers. Got some technical expenses. Could you address account 6701, other programming expenses?
701.
That's $22,000 that we are projecting spending in 2012 that we didn't spend in 2011.
Yeah, I do believe that I needed to get a little 6701. Yeah. I think we had that discussion with the if you see line 6694, programming services.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think those balance each other out. There's a few accounting issues that we have accounted at BAI that LeVon, Arlene, and I were going to sit together and make sure that those things are booked properly. And I believe this is where they should have been booked on those lines instead of line 6694
mm-hmm.
last year. So these are mostly accounting issues and booking that. We need to straighten out a bit at BAI.
Okay. All right. I'm done. There were a couple of folks on the stack. I don't remember who was on the stack.
Kim, I have one question.
Kim, go ahead.
What's your total FTEs right now? Plus, and what's your total part-time, or do you have part-time?
My total FTE is... The sheet that I had. Give me 1 second.
Yeah. Of course.
Hello, am I back on the call?
2093.
29 FTEs.
No, 20. 0.93.
Okay, like 21 FTEs. And how many do you have, part-time people, or you include them in there?
It's all included in there.
Okay, 21. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And including in that, two additional, so you have, if you really, you know, two additional ones for a salary coordinator or consultant that are moving there, and then also half a coverage of vacation filling.
So that's now 23.
So no, you subtract those from that.
Plus the development director.
No, that's included in the 29.
Hello?
Yeah?
Oh, hi. This is Ken to the stack.
Okay.
Hello?
Kim, are you still waiting for an answer from Bertold?
Okay, so I'm just not sure on the total. 21, 22, 23?
No, it's 2093, right? But I'm saying that includes two FTEs that have been moved from tally coordinator consultant to FTE. So if you were to remove those, that it would be 1893.
I see.
And then you have to also remove 0.5 for provision we made for coverage of vacation.
Right. Okay, 21. And this fund drive tally person is a full-time job?
Tough question. Tally coordinators, we usually have shift of 6 hours, 24-hour coverage, you know, people that come in. And then we usually put those as consultant expenses. We are consolidating all of those and putting them as the two full-time employee equivalent.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go to Ken, and I think there were some other folks piled up on the stack. You were Alex? Okay. And Bill. Okay. Is there anybody else?
I actually just had a quick question on the...
we all do, Alex.
No, Alex actually was waiting. He
okay,
said something
great.
Before me, and I forgot. So we are going to go Alex, Bill, Ken.
Great.
On line item 90, that's legal fees, I gather. Is that more or less a fixed monthly payment, or is it just whatever comes in?
They're told
that's professional stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's legal stuff.
Yes.
So is that pretty much fixed, or? There's some elasticity to that, or what?
It was $50,000 last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something we can expect on a regular basis.
Okay, Bill, you're next.
Okay, thank you. I had several questions, and I have a real concern about the overall deficit, but some of these have already been addressed briefly. I'm not sure what the answers, but I agree the office rent, I think we should verify that, as well as the tower rental, especially the rental seems really strange going down. Also, line 156, a budget item, was it 6576, the credit card fee, shows zero for this year. Is that correct? Is it 86,000 or 66,000 for the FY11?
I think that line is repeated somewhere else. I think it might be repeated under admin. I'll find that for you.
Okay, so we'll make sure we didn't lose it. It'd be nice if we didn't have to pay it, but we need our process of the credit cards.
Yeah.
Seems like it should go under development if it's for fee for donations, for pledges.
Yeah, I agree with Bill, but wasn't there something passed in Congress where that rate was mandated to go down?
No.
I think there was.
That was one of your good dreams.
I think that it slipped out of development and it has to go back, and that's essentially your $108,000 savings in development.
Okay, and then I noticed premiums are down quite a bit from this year. I don't know. Now, this year it went up. Is that because you were catching up on past premiums that weren't sent?
From 2004 and on. You can hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, we hear you, Berthold.
Okay.
Berthold?
Oh, yes. I thought I answered. You didn't hear me. We've been catching up on outstanding premium from 2004, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been, that's basically what's been going on. And last year also, the previous year we did, we sent out a lot of premium. We continue to do that.
Realistic.
We assume that's going to go down a bit.
Okay, so make sure that's real. I guess the overall thing I have a real concern about the overall deficit. And I know you're in a crunch there, but, you know, we approved a deficit budget for you last year, and I'm really reluctant to do it again this year, especially considering we have other debts due to unpaid central services that I know you inherited, but I don't know what the plan is for paying those back. And with another, if we approve another deficit budget, it's liable to make it worse for next year.
Okay, this is Tracy. I'm going to put myself on the stack. I'm at least vaguely relieved that this deficit, that this budget has a surplus prior to
right.
Central services. That's right. At least something.
You're
right, Ken. You were ahead of me on the stack. I forgot. Go ahead. Oh. Ken, we can't hear you.
Ken.
Ken has, I think, needs to be muted because he's not talking to us.
I'm looking for that.
Ken,
yes.
Mute yourself or take your place on the stack. Okay.
Okay, so it's Ken on the stack now, right? I just wanted to understand.
It is. I'll go after you.
Okay, I just wanted to understand one thing. You made an equivalency of including two FTEs to cover contracted staff, but those people do not get benefits, correct? They are not employees. You just put them into the FTEs. What I didn't understand was you said the development director was a contractor. Now they're going to become an employee, a W-2 employee, which I'm concerned about because even if it's an equivalent cost, in other words, you're paying more for the contractor, but he didn't get benefits, and now it's the same. He gets a lower pay, but he gets benefits. It's a continued obligation. And it's very difficult to discharge a person once they're hired. I think it's imprudent to do that. So I just wanted to clarify that, if people were still hearing me, on those shifts to the FTEs, and then if LaVarne could answer the question on what is the tower rental?
This LaVarne to the staff.
Okay, LaVarne, you can jump ahead and answer the question.
I just sent you guys an email. The rental for 2012, January 1st, 2012 through December 31st, is $361,301. So it should escalate in January.
That's not an escalation. That's a reduction over what you're listing in the 2012 actuals. That's why we're questioning. And the 2011 actuals. That's not an escalation.
You know what? But the other thing, as Berthold said, and I'll just emphasize, there will be reclassing. And also, it's higher because interest, late payment fees, it's very stiff at Empire State. So what we'll do is we will do the reclassing on that, on the rent, and probably separate some of that. In addition to wherever it is, ma'am, we want all of that in, hopefully it is in programming, and we need to reclass some of the studio rental to programming also.
Kim to the stack.
Well, this is Ken. I'm not getting a clear answer from LeVar. The question was, in 2011, it shows as $400,000. In 2012, it's showing as $399,000. Now you say it's $360,000. Why did it go down?
I don't have the specifics. I'd have to look at it and look at on the general ledger. But what I believe it to be is that something was classed incorrectly. In addition, there are late fees and
late fees
in 2011.
I see.
If you miss the payment on that due date, you will get charged with a late fee.
That's a lot of money. Okay, thank you.